Direct from our lush studios in the very heart of Mayfair, BBC Radio 2, being deep of purse and warm of heart, cordially brings you Hoodwinks, starring Roy Hard with Chris Emmett, Denise Coffey, Fred Harris, and David Goodison in...
Dead Dames Don't Dance with Danger. I was feeling pretty good. The world was a cleaner place to live in, because I just arrested a dame with 2 kilos of happy powder stuffed inside her 48-inch bra. It was the biggest drugs bust the department had ever seen. All I had to do was hand in my report to the chief, and it was bye-bye, L.A., for a well-earned 2-week vacation.
Yeah, okay, Al, okay, I'll make some inquiries. Damn.
Problem, Chief?
Yeah, that was Chief Schwartz from the 9th Precinct. One of his men was on surveillance disguised as a woman with 2 bags of self-raising flour up his blouse. You know, to add realism. And some chowderhead from this department arrested him for possessing heroin, blew his cover. If I find out who it is, I'll shoot his butt off with a shotgun. Now, Chittle, what do you want?
Pair of bulletproof underpants, I think.
Eh?
Oh, it's just to tell the chief I'm on vacation as from tonight.
So I'll see you in 2 weeks, Chisel. Have a nice day.
I finished packing the things essential to an American tourist in London. My passport, my camera, and 5 pairs of very silly trousers. I threw my bag into the T-Bird and headed for the airport.
Business commuter trains is a soul-destroying task, isn't it, Duck? Oh, it's a job and a half, Mabel. And just look at this. Here, look. Another Far Eastern Growth Fund portfolio blocking up the toilet. I mean, it's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me, they ought to... Oh!
Whatever is it, Alice?
Look, Mabel, it's a businessman, and he's been... He's been murdered!
Extra! Extra! Bowler Hat Killer strikes again! Another businessman found murdered! Read all about it! The case on everyone's lips!
If you want my opinion, it's an absolute bloody scandal, that's what. 15 innocent businessmen murdered in cold blood, and what are the police doing? Sweet Fanny Adams! I mean, damn it all! I mean, the police are about as useful as a eunuch in a sperm bank! Well, I says... Sorry. Brian, do you take Marlene to be your lawful wedded wife?
London had changed since my last visit. Then the people had seemed pessimistic about the future, and despair had clouded their lives. But now, after 9 years of Mrs. Thatcher's monetarist policies, attitudes had changed.
Excuse me, Jimmy. Can you lend me 50 quid to buy some shares? Hey, Jimmy.
I checked into my hotel. Having just arrived from the States, my body mechanism was on what you call British Rail time. 8 hours behind.
Inspector Starkey?
Polly, is the Commissioner in?
He's in. But whatever you do, Inspector, don't mention the bowler hat murders. It's driving him insane.
Well, that's why I'm here. I need more men on the case.
I'm only warning you, he's gone completely mad. Any reference to the murders and you know what he does?
What?
He drops his trousers and makes love to a set of bagpipes. apparently it gives him comfort and solace.
And a very stiff neck, I shouldn't wonder. I'll go in. Commissioner.
Ah, come in, laddie, come in, come in. Have you met my bagpipes, by the way?
No. Sir, I called about the...
Holmes, I've just been reading the police gazette. Now, you know what this is?
It's a police whistle, sir.
127 out of 10 for observation, man. Now just give it a blow for me, will you?
It doesn't work, sir. There's no sound coming out.
Uh-huh. Now we're getting somewhere, and you know why there's no sound coming out.
No, sir.
Because I've removed the P. Well?
Well, what, sir?
Well, with silent whistles, the criminals won't hear us coming. Then we can take them completely by surprise and put them all, yes, the whole Jim Van Kitten caboodle of them in the boat and ship them off to Australia where they belong. Why, the very concept of peeless whistles is so simple it could have been thought up by a walrus whose brain has been removed and hidden away in a cupboard.
You know, I was just thinking the same thing myself, sir.
Well, I'm putting you in charge, Lockhart. I want every pea taken out of every whistle in the metropolitan area. And I mean every pea, laddie, or you'll be out of a job faster than a greyhound driving a Ferrari in the men's 100 metres Olympic final. You got that?
Yes, sir. But now, can we talk about...
Well, go on, man. Get to it. I can't stand here until Punky accuses you, can I? Go on. Get out.
Yes, sir.
How did you get on?
I've had more intelligent conversations with Professor Stanley Unwin.
Well, never mind. At least you managed not to mention you know what.
Huh? Oh, you mean the bowler hat murders.
Uh-oh.
It felt good to be strolling around as a tourist. Being an American with our keen sense of the historic, allied with our acute geographical knowledge, I knew exactly what I wanted to see in London. First on my list was the Eiffel Tower. Where the two little princesses were murdered by their cruel stepmother, Olive Cromwell. The dirty rat. Then, because I'm a detective, I naturally wanted to visit Sherlock Holmes' apartment at 221 Downing Street. Well, with my luck, he probably won't be in. But these attractions could wait, because my stroll had brought me to the famous Madame Two Swords, which, according to my guidebook, is the place where they groom actors for Howard's Way. I was just about to enter, but I heard a familiar voice call out my name.
Chisel! Bert Chisel! Well, I'll be a son of a gun.
It was my old friend, Inspector Starkey of Scotland Yard. A couple of years ago, we combined our talents on a hush-hush case and worked as a team on the Bonnie Langford kidnapping affair. We dragged in every known criminal in Britain, but it was useless. We just couldn't find anyone willing to kidnap her. We found a little pub just around the corner. And that's the thing I like about London. It's got lots of corners. We talked, unaware of what was occurring at Cannon Row Police Station.
Morning, Sergeant. I understand you're still looking for the bowler at murder.
That's correct, yes.
Then you can call off the search. I'm giving myself up.
Oh, so you're the bowler at murder, eh? That's a bit odd, Grandma.
Why?
Well, we've had 7 possible sightings of a suspect, and none of the witnesses mentioned anything about the killer using a walking frame.
Are you saying you don't believe me?
Oh, come along, Grandma. Last week you claimed you were Lord Lucan with a sex change. And a week before that, it was sure
done. I tell you, I'm the bowler at murder.
Oh, all right, then. How did you murder victim number 10?
Number 10? Oh, yes. He's the one that tried to molest me, yes. Well, I waited till he was in the shower. Then I crept up, drew back the curtain, and I stabbed him in a psychopathetic peak of untethered frenzy.
Oh, yes, I see. And then you picked up the body, carried it along the Strand, hauled it up to the 18th floor of an office block, and then dropped it out of the window.
Well, I wanted to make doubly sure, didn't I? Anyway, I refuse to answer any more questions until I've been given a thorough body search.
A what?
A body search. Go on, take as long as you like. I won't struggle. I'll know when the case comes.
Look, we're not doing body searches today, Grandma. Now, just run along home.
Doing body searches? What kind of a copper do you call yourself? Well, you can't imagine what I've got under these garments.
Yes, I can, actually, but I'm trying hard not to. Now, look, if you just...
Offensive weapons, for all you know, my girdle may be disguising a very substantial arsenal.
Well, that's what girdles are for, Grandma. Now, look, if you don't mind, I'm rather busy and I'm not interested in what you've got under your clothing.
Here, you're beginning to sound like my husband.
Now, just a minute. Front desk. What? Yeah, okay, yes, I'll inform the super.
What's that?
Another bowler at murder.
No.
Higgins, get your skates on, lad.
Here, what about my body search? Bloody coppers, they didn't treat me like this when I was 18.
Here, Chisel, I don't suppose you'd consider...
Assisting you on the bowler hat case? Negative again, Inspector. Much as I'd like to finger this creep and give him a one-way ticket to the slammer, I can't. I'm just a tourist. I've got pigeons to feed in Trafalgar Circus.
Okay, Chisel.
Is there an Inspector Starkey on the premises?
Here.
A telephone, Inspector.
Excuse me a second. Duty calls.
Here. The Inspector drained his martini and left me to mull over his proposal. I sat there, trying to open a packet of Quavers. But suddenly I got a whiff of expensive perfume. and a strange dame slid a mink-shrouded body into the booth beside me. The first thing I noticed was the sparklers. She was wearing $1 million, and she was top-heavy with class. And what a body. She had the kind of figure that makes Nina Miskoff look like a sack of carrots. Mind you, a camel has the kind of figure that makes Nina Miskoff. Anyway, to cut a long description short, I wouldn't mind being the loofer in this dame's bathroom. She opened her luscious lips and began to speak.
We've never met, but my name's Caroline.
Hi, my name's Loofer. Chisel. I decided to play it cool, so I turned on the streetwise charm and threw her the line that never fails to impress dames. What's a nice joint like a girl doing in a U like this? Huh? I beg your pardon. A little dyslexia I picked up in Vietnam there now. What's the pitch, honey?
You're looking for the bowler hat murderer, I believe.
Keep talking.
Well, I think it's my husband.
Here, relax, honey, relax. Let me buy you a drink, then we'll talk, okay? What'll you have?
Well, I don't normally drink.
Oh, try one, honey. It'll calm your nerves.
Very well. I'll have a large black and tan with a highball chaser on the rocks.
I went to the bar. Inspector Starkey had been informed of another murder and hightailed it back to the yard. I paid for the drinks and pushed my way back to the booth, only to find that the dame had disappeared without so much as a toodle-pip or a nibble on my quavers. The vacation would have to take a rain check. I had to find that dame. Like it or not, I was on the case.
Mr. Green, you found the body, I believe.
Well, that's right, Inspector, yes. As the night security guard in this building, it's my job to patrol the empty offices at night, see, and make sure all the lights are switched on.
Switched on?
Well, I don't want the bogeyman to get me, do I? Anyway, see, I came in here, and I found Mr. Pettigrew lying there dead.
Okay, thanks. Well, Doctor?
Multiple lacerations to the chest and abdomen, sharp instrument penetration of the left ventricular, and the pulmonary artery severed.
He's definitely dead, then.
Well, he didn't respond to the smelling salts. Now, if you'll excuse me, my wife's got a steak and kidney pudding in the oven.
Higgins.
Sir?
Outline the body with a piece of chalk, then hand it over to the morgue boys.
Sir?
Yes, Higgins?
Why would the morgue boys want a piece of chalk?
They want the body, you dandelion. Oh, dear, what's wrong with young coppers today? Don't they ever watch Miami Vice?
Inspector.
Chisel. I didn't expect to see you here. In what changed your mind?
Let's just say $1 million worth of ice. This the body? Oh, looks as though it's been run over by a steamroller.
That's a bearskin rug, Chisel.
Oh.
This is the body over here.
Hmm. You know something, Inspector? Whoever did this must be connected with a medical profession. Could be a doctor.
Why's that?
Look, he's left an old copy of Woman's Realm on the coffee table. I waited until the inspector had finished fingerprinting the Woman's Realm, then I told him about the dame in the pub. He reckoned she was just another weirdo seeking the limelight. I had a hunch the classy dame was the key to this blood-spattered conundrum. My only clue to her identity was that fleeting whiff of perfume. A kind of perfume that makes a man think of only one thing. The other. I legged it to a small French perfumery I knew, tucked away behind the BBC radio studios in Mayfair.
It's very difficult for me, monsieur.
Oh, yeah.
We have thousands of different perfumes on the premises.
Sure.
Can you describe the aroma of this latest perfume?
It was a kind of aroma that lifts a guy off his feet, spins him round, and drops him with a bang.
You mean she smelled like Big Daddy?
Sorry, madame, I distinctly saw you put that bottle of amour ce soir in your handbag.
That's a lie.
Monsieur Antoine, I believe this lady is a thief.
Lady Holloway. This is true?
Certainly not, Antoine. There's been a terrible mistake.
My luck was in. It was the dame. In all the perfumeries in all the world, she had to come shoplifting in this one. She owed me an explanation. But first, I had to get her out of this mess. I called Antoine over.
Oui, monsieur.
Antoine, can't you drop this business? She's no thief. There's been a mistake.
No mistake, no. She is a thief, and I must call the police.
Okay, look. I tell you what, I'll pay for the perfume. Now, how much is it?
£500.
She's a thief. Call the police. Wait a minute. I'm working with Scotland Yard now. Release her into my custody, and I'll deal with it.
Oh, very well, monsieur.
I needed somewhere quiet and deserted so we could talk. There was no game that night, so Craven Cottage was out of the question. Instead, we got a cab to the Tate Art Gallery and found an empty bench opposite Constable's painting, The Hay Wain. Why that guy never made Inspector beats me. As we talked, the missing jigsaw pieces began falling into place. So why did you skip from the little pub, honey?
Sorry about that. My husband came in and I didn't want him to see us together.
Tell me, look, what makes you think he's the bowler hat murderer?
Oh, just little things a wife notices.
Little things?
Like the way he sometimes comes home covered in blood, shouting, "Darling, I've just murdered another businessman. What's for dinner?" Then he washes and wipes the knife and puts it back in the kitchen drawer.
But why? I mean, he must have a reason.
Well, you can't put a dirty knife back in the drawer, can you?
I mean his motive for the murders.
My guess would be money. He was given some bad investment advice, and we lost every penny on the stock market. We're broke.
Broke?
Wrecked. Don't let the mink and jewels fool you. I got them the same way I got the perfume.
You said the motive was money. It sounds more like revenge to me.
No, it's money. You see, he's hoping to sell the film rights to Michael Winner.
For me, that last sentence was like finding the silver dime in a Christmas pudding. I had a suspect. And what's more, I had a suspect with a motive. I thanked the dame and dropped her off at Fortnum's. She was giving a dinner party that night and needed to steal some after-eight mints. I went back to my hotel, showered, shaved, poured myself a Jack Daniels, and flopped onto the bed to do some hard, decisive thinking. Which pair of silly trousers was I going to wear the next day?
The donkey was never the same.
More wine, Lady Maud?
Oh, yes, just a mouthful, thank you.
Hobson, get Lady Maud a pint glass, will you?
Oh, I must say, Lady Holloway, your choice of wines is impeccable. How do you do it?
Oh, it's quite simple. I always choose the bottles that are nearest the shop doorway.
So you don't think they'll ever catch this blighter, the bowler hat murderer there, eh, Lord Holloway?
Never, never. The scamp's too dash clever by half. He's obviously highly intelligent, extremely cunning, and probably very, very handsome and wizard in bed, believe me.
Yes, well, as vice chairman of the stock exchange, he won't stop me wearing my bowler hat. No, sir, never.
But aren't you afraid of him, Sir John? You must be high on his list.
Well, naturally, I do take precautions.
Precautions?
Well, when I leave the stock exchange at exactly 5:30, I always use the back entrance. You know, that one that leads into the dark alley full of gloomy shadows and empty cardboard boxes. Nobody ever goes down there, much too spooky.
The back alley, you say?
Yes, yes. Every night at 5:30.
I was roused from a troubled slumber by the bedside phone warbling its familiar signature tune. I picked it up. It was the dame. Her first words hit me like a sledgehammer, and I reeled in disbelief.
Mr. Chisel, I'm calling from a public phone box.
The dame had actually found a public phone that was working. This chick was no dumb broad. She gave me the lowdown on the dinner party conversation. What Davinia Gore Cressington would be wearing at Ascot. How much Lady Maud had enjoyed the salmon mousse from Harrods. Do St. Helens need to sign a new scrum half? Then she told me about Sir John and the back alley. I thanked her for the info and hung up. Then I caught a cab to Scotland Yard.
And acting on the evidence at my disposal, I have no alternative but to arrest you on suspicion of being the bowler hat murderer.
But, Inspector, I'm not the murderer. I was only having you on. I made it up.
Inspector!
Oh, come in, Chisel. You're just in time to see British police doggedness and tenacity pay off. Meet the bowler hat murderer.
I demand to see my geriatrician.
I can release her, Inspector. I filled the inspector in on what I'd discovered. Then I suggested a plan to catch Lord Holloway red-handed.
Let's get this wild idea straight, Chisel. You actually want to change clothes with the vice chairman of the stock exchange and set yourself up as the bait, like a prat to catch a mackerel?
Don't you mean Spratt?
I know what I mean. You realize if anything goes wrong, you could get murdered.
Not if you and your men are in the alley, Inspector. Hiding in the empty boxes.
Oh, I don't know about that. It's pretty dark down that alley, you know.
But nevertheless, I'll put your idea to the Commissioner for his approval.
Take a letter, Polly.
Yes, Commissioner.
To the Home Secretary, Sir Stafford Cripps. Dear Biffle, re our telephone conversation on the phasing out of police capes. As a compromise, may I suggest the following. They may keep their capes, but must not wear them when it's raining. Yours as ever, etc. Have that sent round at once, Polly, and then show in anyone who's waiting to see me.
Yes, Commissioner.
Commissioner?
Ah, come in, Lockhart. Come in. I've read your plan, and I'm impressed, except for one thing.
Sir?
There's no mention here of the blanket.
The blanket?
The blanket, man. The blanket to cover the criminal's head after you make the arrest.
Oh, that blanket, sir. Oh, don't worry. We'll have the blanket to hand. You can be sure of that, sir.
Excellent, Maigret. Excellent. And make sure that it's a rough, itchy blanket. We don't want to be seen mollycoddling these hooligans, do we?
We'll be using the roughest, itchiest blanket we can find, sir.
Good. Carry on, then, Dixon. Good luck and keep me informed.
Thank you, sir.
They had the green light from the brass. Everything now depended on guts, timing, above all, secrecy.
Extra, extra. Bert Chisel will impersonate businessman to catch killer. Extra.
At 3:30, I walked into Sir John's office at the stock exchange. Luckily, he and I were both the same size, so exchanging clothes would be no problem. We were strangers, but we knew the score. We both knew that catching the killer was the prime objective. Nothing else mattered, and mutual cooperation was the key to success.
No. Look, you drop yours first, and then I'll drop mine.
No, look. Okay, look. We'll drop them together on the count of three, okay?
Yes, all right. Yes.
1, 2, 3.
Sir John, I'm just making... I wondered if Mr. Chisel would prefer tea or cucumber. Coffee.
Not now, Miss Davis. We're in conference.
You'll be in the news of the world if you're not careful, boy.
At 5:00, the inspector and his men were inside the empty boxes, and I was in position behind the back door that led into the alley. Everything was set and sweet. Nothing had been left to chance. Or so I thought until...
Oh, here, Alf. These empty boxes feel a bit heavier this week.
Come on, Bert. Sling them on a car. Let's get down to pub. Come on.
Here, right.
I winced as I heard the dust cart drive off with my support back up. Now I was on my own. 5:30. I opened the door that led into the alley. The sweat was trickling out of places you can't imagine. Which was strange because I'd never seen a door sweat before. I stepped out into the murky gloom, my heart pounding like the hooves of a horse running away from a pedigree chum factory. Somewhere, an alley cat screeched as it pounced on its rodent supper. And high above, I could hear London's pigeon community settling down for the night. From the Duke of York's barracks, I caught the sound of Billy, the regimental mascot. And in the distance, the familiar mating call of a South American guanaco.
Oh, come on. Not Percy bleeding Edwards, you know.
I inched down the alley. It was just me, the darkness, and the killer. Suddenly, like a grotesque jack-in-the-box, a weird figure sprung at me from its shadowy hiding place. What the...
Hey, Jimmy, can you lend me 50 quid to buy some shares? Hey, Jimmy,
You, Jock. Look. You better get the hell out of here fast. It's not safe.
Oh, I'll get out of here all right just as soon as I've done you in, Mr. Chisel.
Lady Holloway! I saw the lightning flash of a metal blade and felt a hot searing pain as the steel penetrated deep into my shoulder. I caught a glimpse of this dame's wild eyes as she lunged again and again. They were the eyes of a demented psychopath. Weak with pain, I dropped to my knees. Mother of mercy! Was this the end of Bert Chisel? Then the music went off. And the lights went out.
How is he, Doctor?
He is off the danger list, Inspector, but he will pull through.
Can I see him?
I'm afraid that is impossible. He is still very, very weak.
But I must see him, Doctor. I mean, this is the end bit where we explain everything and tie up all the loose ends of the mystery.
Well, in that case, all right, but keep it short, please.
Chisel?
Hey, Inspector. Fill me in. What happened here?
We managed to apprehend Lady Holloway before she struck the fatal blow.
But the dust card, I thought you'd chisel.
There's an old superstition amongst British dustmen that if they don't drop most of the rubbish on the path, then they'll have 7 years bad luck. They dropped me and Higgins on the pavement in Threadneedle Street. We dashed back just in time to save you.
But the dame, I mean, why did she try to finger her husband for the murders?
To throw you off the track.
But why her? What was her motive for mass murder?
Her husband had gone bust making bad investments. He could accept this newfound poverty, but she couldn't. So she took her revenge on the city.
Disguised as a down-and-out beggar. Very clever. But what I don't understand is...
That's enough serious dialogue for now, Chisel. And we haven't had a joke on this page.
Okay.
Anyway, I've got to dash. Seems the commissioner has been reading a copy of the Jewish Chronicle, and now he wants an inch and a half cut off all the police truncheons in London. See you soon.
Aye, Inspector. So that was that. Another case neatly wrapped up in red ribbon to be stored away in the huge filing cabinet of justice. But there'd be other cases to solve. Other mean streets to walk down. Other criminals to throw into the slammer. And other brand new jokes to tell. Which reminds me. Nurse?
Yes, Mr. Chisel?
When I get out of here, will I be able to play the violin?
No problem. Of course you will.
Oh, good, because I could never play it before.
Come on!
You've been listening to another Bert Chisel BBC paperback. The amazingly believable characters were played by Roy Hudd, with Chris Emmett, Denise Coffey, Fred Harris, and David Goodison. The intricate plot structure and surprising twist at the end were written by Laurie Rowley, and the show was produced by the BBC's master of mystery and suspense, Jonathan James Moore.